Turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 1, verse 1. Job, chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. I always said I think God put Job in the middle of the Bible to keep us balanced. You flip back to Esther, you went too far. All right, Job chapter 1, verse 1. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word today. Open our hearts to receive what you have for us in Jesus' name. Amen. Job chapter 1, verse 1. There was a man of the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people in the East. Now, in these first few verses, well, let's read on a couple more. And his sons would go and feast in the houses, each in his appointed day, and would send and invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. So it was when the days of feasting had run their course that Job would send and sanctify them, and would rise up early in the morning and offer burnt offerings according to the number of them all. For Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. And thus Job did regularly. When you do something spiritual regularly, that is religion. Amen. We go to church religiously every Sunday, right? Hopefully we do. So in these first few verses here, we see, first of all, Job, we see his walk. It says that he had a walk with God, that he feared God, he was upright. So, you know, we ask each other, we say, how's your walk, brother? You know, and what that means is, are you walking with the Lord? Are you staying in the Word? Are you praying? Are you living for the Lord? Is your lifestyle, you know, because we can come to church, we can all look spiritual on Sunday morning, amen? But Job was more than just religious. He had a walk with God. His walk was spiritual. He shunned evil. He was upright. He feared God. The second thing we see in this passage was his possessions. He was rich. He was not only rich, he was what we would call today filthy rich, right? I mean, he had camels, he had sheep, he had all these things. He was the richest, greatest man in the East. The third thing we see about Job in these passages is he had a big family. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. So he had a loving family. They all got along. You know, your family gets along when they come together for meals. You say, we're going to have dinner, you know, and some of them don't show up, you got family problems. But if they all show up and they take turns showing up at each other's house. So he had a family, and they were a good family. And the fourth thing we see was he had fear. Now he had good fear and he had bad fear. He feared God. That's a good thing. He feared God. He wanted to please God. He knew that God was powerful, right? We recognize that God has the power to throw us in hell. Jesus said, do not fear man, fear God. They can destroy the body and soul in hell, right? So Job had a healthy fear. He also had an unhealthy fear. He had this fear that his sons or daughters might curse God. So he was kind of living in fear over his kids. We don't want to do that. We got to give our kids to God and trust God. There comes that point in our life where our kids are grown and we can't control them like we did when they were little. When my kids were little, they were the remote to get me the remote. Hey, bring me that remote to the TV or the VCR, right? So they were my remote to the remote. I could control them then. They get grown, you can't control them. You can't live in fear. You got to trust them. Got to trust them to God. As we move on, verse 6, now there was a day, there's always that day, right? Everything's going good, and then there's that day. Remember that day? Oh, yeah, that day. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. The Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered and said to the Lord, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it. And the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there was none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? You know, we talk about testimonies. We say, does anybody have a testimony? Does anybody have a praise? And usually they go something like, well, I just want to praise God because God did this for me. I just want to thank God because he did this for my son or my daughter, or, you know, or God got me out of this scrape, or God blessed me and I was able to pay some bills or whatever. And so a testimony is where we testify of what God did. But in this particular passage, we find God testifying of Job. Did you ever think of that? God ever testifies? He probably doesn't have nearly as much to testify about as we do about him, because it's pretty hard to find someone that God wants to brag on. We like to brag on God, but here we have a passage where God is bragging on this man named Job. And so he is actually testifying to the devil about his servant Job. He says there's none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil. And so here God is testifying to the devil about Job. I'd like to hope that there's times in my life where God would testify about me, and that God would testify about you. I'd just soon he not testify to the devil about me. I'd just soon I fly under the radar of the devil. But God chose this day to testify to Satan about Job. And so Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear God for nothing? You've made a hedge around him, around his household, around all that he has on every side. You've blessed the works of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch your hand out and touch him, or touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power, only do not lay your hand on his person. This incident was not initiated by the devil. It was initiated by God. We tend to, when we go through trials and tribulations and struggles, we tend to say, oh, the devil has done this to me. But when you read the book of Job, we see that it was not initiated by the devil, that it was initiated as God began to testify to the devil about Job. Have you seen my servant Job? It was initiated by God. Of course, at that initiation, then Satan challenges God to a cosmic chess match where Job is the pawn. It's hard to believe that these super beings that we call Almighty God and this angelic, fallen angelic creature that we call Satan would play cosmic chess with me or you as pawns. But we do see from the book of Job that that is exactly what is happening here. And so Satan says three things. He says, remove the hedge that's protecting him. You know, we can't see the hedges that God protects us with. Thank God they're there. If it wasn't for God's goodness and mercy, protective hand on us, the devil would run rampant in our life. But when we become a covenant child of God through the blood of Jesus Christ, I believe God puts a hedge of protection around us. And God seldom takes it down. Often we take it down ourselves out of sin and rebellion. So Satan says, remove the hedge and then let me. Notice again, God is in control. We give the devil way too much power, I think. He says, let me. It is at the word of God that Satan has the power to do these things. Let me. Let me go after him. And finally, in this cosmic chess match between God and the devil, he says, if you remove the hedge and you let me do this, he will curse you to your face. And so we see here is an interesting challenge between God and the devil. The objective of the devil is to make Job curse God. And God, who is bragging on his servant Job, takes the challenge. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now, there was a day, it's one of those days again. You say, how's your day? Oh, it's been one of those days. Right? So it was one of those days when the sons and the daughters were eating and drinking wine in the oldest brother's house. And a messenger came to Job and said, the ox were plowing and the donkeys feeding beside them when the Sabaeans raided them and took them away. Indeed, they have killed your servants with the edge of the sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the fire of God fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, the Chaldeans formed their three bands, and they raided the camels, and they took them away, and they killed the servants with the edge of a sword, and I alone have escaped to tell you. And while he was still speaking, another also came and said, your sons and your daughters were eating and drinking wine in their oldest brother's house, and suddenly a great wind from across the wilderness struck the four corners of the house and fell on the young people, and they're all dead, and I alone have escaped. Boy, you talk about one of those days. Yeah. And Job arose, and he tore his clothes, and he shaved his head, and he fell on the ground and cursed God. No, doesn't say that, does it? And worshiped. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Wow. What a guy. What a guy. This week as I was driving down the road and I was praying, the Lord spoke three words to me. And I took that as to be the topic of this morning's message. And the three words were, in all this. And I knew what the Lord was saying. I knew the passage of Job. In verse 22 it says, in all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. In all this. Say that with me this morning. In all this. Will you have challenges in your life? Yes, you will. How do you do on those tests that God puts you through? Well, I win a few and I lose a few. I start out good and then I fizzle out. I start out strong and then I get discouraged. Maybe I start out discouraged and then I get strong. But God's prescription for success is that no matter what he allows the devil to throw at you, the testimony is, in all this, I will not sin nor charge God with wrong. And so, test number one passed. The devil seldom quits after the first test. So again, there was a day, one of those days, When the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also to present himself before the Lord, and the Lord said to Satan, "Where did you come from?" And Satan said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." And the Lord once again says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is none like him on all the earth, a blameless and upright man who fears God and shuns evil, and still holds fast his integrity, although you have incited me against him to destroy him without cause." So here's God's second testimony about Job. God is sure proud of Job, isn't he? Don't you want to be like Job? Don't you want to have God proud of you? Don't you want to have God bragging to everybody, to the angels? "Hey, guys, come here, check him. Wow, look at that guy. Look at everything he's been through. He's still standing. She's still standing. She's still going on. He's still going on. Doesn't matter what the devil throws at him. He doesn't quit. She doesn't quit." We never think about God testifying about us, but he sure does. So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin. All that a man has he will give for his life, but stretch out your hand now and touch his bones and his flesh, and he will surely curse you to your face." Again, there's a rematch, cosmic chess rematch in heaven. It's God 1, the devil 0, but now it's the rematch, and the stakes are higher, and the devil really believes that he will curse you to your face. And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, he is in your hands, but spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Now, I cannot imagine what this is like. I'm highly allergic to poison ivy. And if I get poison ivy on any part of me, I think I'm dying. I'm embarrassed to say this, but I have one time actually took an SOS soap pad to my arms. It was itching so bad. It's a wonder I didn't get an infection. I remember I was like out of my mind crazy. You know, like those laughs like the crazy people in those asylums do, you know, as I was scraping my skin with an SOS soap pad because I am going out of my mind at 3 a.m. because I'm itching so bad. I can't imagine boils on the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. I just cannot imagine. And the devil knows what it's going to take to make you want to quit, to make you want to stop, to make you want to give up, to make you blame God and say things like, "If you love me, why are you letting this happen?" And he took for himself a potsherd with which to scrape himself while he sat in the midst of ashes. Now this is a picture of the man who was the richest, most influential man in all of the Middle East, now sitting in ashes, his head is shaved, he's lost everything that was of value to him, and now even his health is gone. It's really sad. He's lost two things. He's lost his possessions, which has caused emotional pain. And now he's lost his health, which has caused physical pain. There are some people that emotional pain is stronger than physical pain. Certain things in your life that have an emotional value to you, maybe a spouse or a child, can be so grievous emotionally that some people take their lives because they don't want to live. And you say, "Why would someone do that? It's, you know, it's just an emotional thing." That's what emotional pain does. The devil has hit Job with both of these, both emotional and physical. And then, as if that's not enough, his wife says, "Do you still hold fast to your integrity, curse God and die. Now, this was not said by his wife. It was said by the devil through his wife. This is demonic. We know the end game. We see why the devil is doing this. His goal in this cosmic chess match is to make Job curse God. So it's very easy to connect the dots and see that when his wife says, curse God and die, that she is being influenced by the devil. Remember when Peter told Jesus, oh, far be it from you, you can't die on a cross. And what did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. You know, because you're not speaking what God would have you speak. And so it's pretty obvious that she's not speaking what God would have her speak. She's speaking from the influence, the demonic influence of the devil, trying to get him. So, you know, now he's got a third aspect. He's lost everything. He's got emotional loss. He's lost his health. He's got physical loss. And now he's under demonic attack as the person that is closest to him is being influenced by the devil. And unfortunately, the people closest to us can often cause us the greatest grief. Can I get an amen? Verse 10. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. Shall indeed we accept good from God and not accept adversity? And in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. And notice, again, it's about his lips. We talked a little bit about the power of the spoken word in Sunday school this morning, how God spoke the universe in existence with the spoken word, and how when Jesus comes back, it'll be the word coming out of his mouth will be like a sharp sword, and that he will smite the nations of the world at his coming with his spoken word. The spoken word is powerful. And they often are words that program our heart. Have you ever known anyone who would say things like, I can't ever do anything right? Guess what? They can't. The Bible teaches us to say things like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When I had teenagers around the dining room table, and teenagers can be pretty negative, I would hear all this negativity, and halfway through the dinner meal, I would say, this is the happiest day of my life. And you would be amazed how just speaking something like that can change the very tone of dinner. So in all of this, Job did not sin with his lips in all this. In all this. Now, what is this? This is Job's test, but yours may be different. In. It's really good to testify when God takes you through a trial. And many people love to testify when they went through a trial. But the test is when you're in the trial, not when you've went through it. Anybody can brag about God and be all cheerful after the test. Well, I had this financial problem and I didn't know what I was going to do, and then God performed a miracle and I was able to pay all these bills. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. All right. But what do they sound like when they're in the middle of it? I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have any money. They're coming to repossess my car. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. But see, the Bible tells us that Job kept his lips, his integrity, in all these things while he was in it. Not afterwards. In it. That's the time when our lips should still praise God. That's the time when we should praise God and say, God's got this. I don't know how he's going to do it, but God's got this. In the trial, not after. The second word in all this, all, is all. Well, I'm sharp this morning, aren't I? You know what all means? It means all. It means everything. Sometimes we can praise God in this area of our life, but if someone brings up this area over here, it's like, well, no, I don't really want to talk about that. Sometimes we can be on the mountaintop over here, but, you know, I hate my job. Let's talk about the Lord. I don't want to talk about my job. I don't want to talk about my finances. I don't want to talk about my marriage. I don't want to talk about my dog who keeps messing on the floor. I don't want to talk about that. Let's just talk about this. But it's in all these things. Amen? God wants you to be victorious in every area of your life. He wants you to have joy in every area of your life. He wants you to be an overcomer in every area of your life. And the only way you're going to do that is have the integrity of your lips speak life over every area of your life. Amen? Doesn't matter. You're never going to have a perfect job. You're never going to have a perfect marriage. You're never going to have perfect financial. You're never going to have enough money. You will never have enough. How much is enough money? Just one more dollar more. You talk about these people that make their millions. They're so miserable because they're so afraid they're going to lose it all that they have to get more and more, and it's never enough. When the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. So it's in all areas of my life. I need to keep my integrity. I need to keep my verbal confession. God is good. Amen? All, in all. And the third word in all this is, of course, the word this. Now this is specific. Job's this was he lost all of his family, his possessions, and his health. I hope none of us are tested to the level that Job was tested. I just can't imagine. Any one of those would be grievous enough, but all of them would be overwhelming. Job passed the test. But what is your this? What is my this? It's what you're going through. It's what you've never shared. It's what you keep private. It's what you're facing right now. It's the thing that that when God bragged on you, the devil said, well, let me do this. Let me attack his mental thoughts. Let me attack his relationships. Let me attack his finances. What it's your this is not my this, and my this is not your this, but in all this I will keep the integrity of my lips, like Job. Amen? So, the objective was to curse God. Now, we may not curse God, but we might question God. We might say, God, this is not fair. God, this doesn't make sense. Don't you love me? Very rare that God answers those questions about why. I was going through a pretty dark time a few years ago, and God did answer one of them. It wasn't really a why, it was I don't understand. I think God is more apt to answer an I don't understand than a why. Because sometimes I just want to understand. I understand that I'm going to have trials. I just like to know, you know, the meaning behind it. Where does this thing go? And the answer that God gave me as I was laying on my bed, hot tears coming down my face, when I said, God, I don't understand, the scripture from the book of Revelation was given to me by the Lord. Let the righteous be righteous, let the wicked be wicked. Let the unpure be impure. I'm misquoting it, I know. The idea is that sometimes what's in people are going to come out of people. They may float along and look spiritual, but if there's this root, in the last days, God's going to bring every harvest of every heart to fruition. So people may betray you, and people may hurt you, and people may let you down, but we must keep our integrity. We cannot question God. We cannot get mad at God. We cannot call God cruel or say that God doesn't care. God is love, and he loves me even if I don't understand. So how do I do that? How do I do that? How do I have that Job kind of resolve to be able to face some of these things in my life? The word is resignation. You tend to think of the word resignation as, I'm going to resign from my job. I'm handing in my resignation. But that word can have a double meaning. Resignation can basically mean my resolve. I have resigned myself to the fact that I am never going to get mad at God when circumstances come my way. Amen? I'm going to resignate myself to that fact. I will not get mad at God. It is not God's fault. It may even be initiated by God, like it was with Job. He may have started it all. But you know what? I will trust the sovereignty of God. Because God is good. God is love. God is mercy. And God cares for me. And so I'm not going to focus on what I don't know. I'm going to focus on what I do know. I know God is good. I know God loves me. And I won't even go down the road of why or what. So God's sovereignty in my life is where I will resign myself to be. I will trust God and accept what comes my way. Some examples of some people in the Bible that had that resignation in their life. One of them was the prophet Eli. You remember Eli was the predecessor to Samuel. And Eli was the one who pretty much raised little Samuel in the temple. And you remember the night when little Samuel heard God speaking and didn't recognize it was God's voice. And Eli kept telling him, go back to bed, I didn't call you. And finally he realizes that God is speaking to little Samuel. And he says, if you hear that again, just say, your servant's here, Lord, speak. And the next morning he pushed Samuel. What did God say to you? And Samuel didn't want to tell him because it was about him and his wicked sons, if you remember. And he pushed him and said, you better tell me what he said. And Samuel told him everything, and he hid nothing from him. And Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. He had resigned himself that God, even if it was painful, gets to have his way in his life. Isn't that great? It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good. Can you say that about your life, even if it would be bad? See, that's the mark of a man of integrity, a woman of integrity, who trusts the sovereignty of God. God is going to punish me because of my evil sons, and it's not bad. It's not God's fault that I didn't discipline my sons. It's not God's fault that I didn't teach them right from wrong, and I can't blame God. God said he's going to punish me because I didn't discipline my sons. It's the Lord. Let him do what seems good. He reserved himself to the sovereignty of God. The second example is in David, the life of David. David, as you remember, committed adultery with Bathsheba. He didn't just commit adultery with Bathsheba. To cover his sins, he had her husband Uriah the Hittite put on the front line and then had them pull everyone back so he would be killed, thinking somehow he could hide his sins from God. The Bible says he that seeks to hide his sins from God will not prosper. And obviously he didn't prosper. And then God told him the punishment was that the child that Bathsheba was going to bear would die. And sure enough, not long after he was born, he became very sick. And David began to fast and pray that God would spare the child. And finally, the day came when he died. David had fasted and prayed, didn't bathe up to that point, but then when he found out the child had died, he went and washed himself and cleaned up, put on clean clothes, and went in to eat. And they said, David, we don't understand. You know, when the child was still alive, you were fasting, and now it died, and you just wash yourself, you go in, and you're going to eat. We don't get it. And he said, he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back? I will go to him, but he will not return to me. David accepted the sovereignty of God. He didn't get bitter. He didn't get angry. He didn't curse God. Could we respond if one of our children died that way? And of course, Job, we already read this one, Job 1:21. Naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked I'll return. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praising God in the midst of loss. And of course, our greatest example would be Jesus himself, who suffered at the highest level of suffering that any man could ever comprehend. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Take this cup from me. What? Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. And then in John 18:11, Jesus told Peter, put up your sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father has given me, shall I not drink it? I often wonder what cups await me in my life. You would like to think that life would always be blissful and pleasant, but we don't know what awaits us. We don't have to suffer for our sins. Don't get me wrong. Jesus paid the price for our sins, but sometimes we do have to suffer. The Bible says that the trying of our faith works patience, so sometimes we get tried. And finally, there was Paul's friends who were told by the Holy Spirit that if he went on to this town that he would suffer persecution, and when he would not be persuaded, they said, we ceased saying the will of the Lord be done. See, we don't like to talk about the will of the Lord being persecution, do we? We don't even think about that. The will of the Lord be done. The will of the Lord be done. And so, as Christians, we need to resign ourselves to the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God. That means God gets the final word. God gets to do what he wants in my life. And our testimony, the goal of our life is in, say it with me, in all this, I will not curse God with my lips. No matter what I face, no matter what the devil throws at me, no matter what journey God takes me down, what road God takes me down, in all this, I will maintain my integrity as a Christian. Amen. Let's pray. Father, come on up, Nola. This morning, as we look at this great book of Job, we can't help but wonder, Lord, if we were Job, could we really respond the way that he did? Could we really not get bitter and angry at you? Could we really say, praise the Lord, as we are covered in boils, as we've lost our children, as we've lost our health, as we've lost our possessions? Could we really do that? And the answer is, Lord, without you, no. We could not. But you have promised us that you would never leave us and that you would never forsake us. In fact, you said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. And so this morning, as we look at that overwhelming thought, our focus should not be one of fear or dread, but our focus should be one of assurance. blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That no matter what I face in life, I do not face it alone, for He is with me. No matter how rough the road may be, He will help me carry that cross. No matter how fearful it may be, I am to fear God more than man, and know that He will not put more on me than I can contain, that I can carry. But with every temptation, He will be there along the way, providing a way of escape. I can't help but think about Mary and Martha. The contrast between two people who lost a loved one, Lazarus. And Mary, Jesus said, found that one thing in life that makes life worth living. And that is to sit at the feet of Jesus and just begin to worship. The Bible says that Job said, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And as he worshiped God, strength came. As we worship the Lord, we will find the strength to face any one of life's challenges. Amen. In all these things, Job did not sin. Let's just take a minute to worship the Lord. Nola, there was a song in worship today that went right along with this message, and I remember when we were singing it, I was thinking, this is another one of those God things. Because it was talking about, Do you find it? Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Is it "When I Look in Your Holiness" or "When I Praise You"?
It was one about trials and praising God. I don't know.
Was it a fast one?
I don't remember. I'm sorry.
Everything that has breath, praise
God? No, no. I don't know. Sing something. I should have made note when we were singing. I get so wrapped up in praising the Lord, I can't concentrate on keeping track of anything. Let's all stand and praise the Lord. Whatever you want. Go ahead.
Well, we can do "Let Everything That Has Breath Praise
okay,
the Lord."
Okay, make it
again.
So. Make it so, number one.
Let everything
that, everything that, everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that, everything that, everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
Praise you in the morning, praise him in the evening, praise him when I'm young and when I'm old. I'll praise you when I'm laughing, praise you when I'm grieving, praise you every season of the soul. If I could see how much your worth, your power, your might, your endless love, surely we would never cease to praise you.
Everybody, come on. Let everything that, everything that, everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Let everything that, everything that, everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That was it, because it was like when I'm good, when I'm bad, when I'm grieving.
That's
that was what
it.
I was thinking.
It's
like that's my sermon right
praise
there. Praise
him
the
in
Lord.
The heavens.
God bless you guys. Thank you for coming. If a couple of you guys want to get that sign out, or I will help you if we need it, but we need to get the sign out to the curb for Saturday.